This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They are who we thought they were.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
And then we're going to find our best friend Doug. And then we're going to give him our best friend hug.
You didn't turn the yard, ain't me.
That just happened.
What would you say you do here?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
It's the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Here we go, Daddy.
The ball is ticked, and there you are.
You're running for your life. Oh, you're a shooting star.
You're a shooting star.
All the years.
No one knows how hard you work.
It's how hard you work.
God.
Now it's show.
Monday morning, everyone. As Daddy does his Trent Hill impersonation.
Thomas Hill.
Oh, my God. Glad to have you along back in studio. We've been, and we're only going to be here a little bit this week because don't forget, at Cunningham's on Friday for St. Patrick's Day, as if there's not enough going on.
Let's say that's a Wednesday.
What did I say?
Wednesday, St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Not Friday.
Oh, did I say Friday?
That's all right. We're jumping ahead. You're getting
Wednesday,
excited.
St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, we will be there. We'll be making our picks on Wednesday. Daddy and I will be. I'm going to have to find somebody that doesn't think Kansas is going to win this whole thing. When you're filling out your pool of Kansas wins, it looks like 80% of America is going to take Kansas. And so you got to fill out another pool and pick somebody besides Kansas just in case Kansas doesn't win it.
I said about 3 weeks ago, it looked to me like about four teams had an opportunity to win this, and I'm going to stick with that statement. It doesn't look, for as wild as the thing got from the teams, maybe, well, 5 through 40, I think they can beat each other up. That's where the ruckus is going to come into the brackets. But as far as winning the championship and cutting down the nets in Indianapolis, I think it's going to be very difficult for one of those four teams not to be the one that does that.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad you're along with us for the next hour. We'll be talking about the local, the state, and the national scene. A lot of things have happened since we last talked with you on Wednesday. The Boys State Basketball Tournament has come and gone. A lot of talk on that today to wrap it up. We're giving Stu Pospisil one last chance to join us today on the program and wrap up the show. He's going to come up next segment. Then Kevin Asher, the head coach of the state champion Hastings St. Cecilia Blue Hawks, at the bottom of the hour. Then Paul Baronic, the head coach of the state champion Ravenna Blue Jays, will be coming our way in about the 11:45 time today. Plus, we need to talk about brackets. We need to tell you how to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge. We need to talk about the big story, really, is the Hastings women getting upset in the national tournament. The earliest a number one seeded went out in 11 years, since 1999. And then, as you kind of expected, the team that beat them, Grandview, got walloped in the next round by 20 points. So we'll look at that. Hastings men getting a win. I think maybe that's more than a lot of people thought they would. They were the underdog, and they played well in the national tournament. Baseball going on over the weekend everywhere. Softball's getting going. Spring is here. There's track meets on the high school side this weekend. Golf gets going. Spring sports get going this week. And that's okay. Some kids have had a month off. If you got beat in the first round of sub-districts, or you didn't play at all, or you were a wrestler, and you've been done for nearly a month, you're ready to go. You're ready to get this spring sports season underway, and it looks like it'll be very spring-ish until about Saturday, when probably there's going to be some events going on. But it's supposed to be very nice, and oh, good gracious, that it's going to be nice so people don't have to bundle up on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, perhaps eclipsing the 60-degree mark.
So
something we haven't done since what, October?
Yeah. The antifreeze will not be needed just for that purpose alone. But we do want to talk about the brackets. And Daddy, as I sat there and watched them unveil the brackets yesterday, I'm glad to see that for the most part, I am, I guess, online with what the national pundits do believe. I had some of the same questions. Usually I come into this morning, I'm going, ask the questions we want to know. Well, I think pretty much all of them have been asked, especially how can you put Ohio State and West Virginia where they are? And the chair of the committee today said, yes, they did weigh the number two seeds. How can Ohio State be in with Kansas? And then the one question I don't understand. Ever since they've invented this play-in game, how in the world does the number one overall national seed, Kansas, this year, not play the play-in game? I don't think it's happened. The play-in game winner ends up playing Duke, the third seed. Some say it's because of travel. Well, Dayton, Ohio to Oklahoma City is going to be closer than Dayton, Ohio to wherever it is in southern Florida that they are playing. I don't understand it one bit. I don't understand it at all. They are the 64 and 65 teams. In the grand scheme of things, I don't usually care. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about who the number one seed is, whether they should have been a one or whether they should have been a two. That's where it gets a whole lot different. But Kansas's bracket is so much tougher than everybody else's. It's just embarrassing what they've done. And I said last week Kentucky will be the first number one seed out, and then they keep popping up the teams that are in their bracket. Well, who's going to beat them? I mean, Kentucky's probably going to get to the Elite Eight without any problem. They get that. I mean, you look like at a 5 or a 12 or somebody that can get, well, Temple Cornell. Well, maybe they're good enough to win a couple games. They're not going to beat Kentucky. Somebody, I thought Wisconsin was sliding. Somebody today said maybe Wisconsin could make the Final Four. So maybe it's Wisconsin. Texas is playing like crap. Wake Forest, you know, I don't know. Can a Texas or a Wake Forest? I mean, if they play like they did a month and a half ago, yeah, Texas could beat Kentucky. But the way they're playing now is just horrible. Texas
21 or 19
Texas
to
out,
Baylor?
Purdue out. I mean, these teams that have struggled. Illinois has no gripe. They lost 6 of their last 8 games. Out, Illinois. You don't deserve to be in. And I think some of the guys on bracketology last night, okay, guys, the first segment, the first hour, we're always going to talk about the teams that didn't get in. They couldn't make a great case for anybody that didn't get in. They could argue for Virginia Tech, for Mississippi State, and for Illinois, but they could only argue for 3 and not good arguments. Illinois doesn't belong in this tournament, so I whittle that down to Mississippi State.
After watching them yesterday, they're in, though, right?
Well, they took Kentucky to the wire. But again, they knew that maybe they needed to win that game. You give it all you got. You're supposed to give it all you got every time, but...
But you're 0.2 seconds or 0.1 second away from dancing and being a what, 9 or 10 seed, and
well,
instead you're on the outside looking in?
Maybe you shouldn't lose to Podunk U in January.
That's one thing. You know, a lot of people put all this stake, you know, what happened in their last 8 games. Well, I think the committee, you know, they said, that's one of the first things they said, hey, we look at the season as a whole. You go on slides, 8-game slides, and you lose 6 out of 8. Doesn't do anything for your chances. We're trying to get the best teams here. You proved you can do that during the year. Who's to say you're not going to flop once you get in here?
Well, your thoughts, Daddy, on the bracket.
Well, you want to talk about this, who's got the toughest bracket. But you throw out the people that, who can beat Kansas? I don't think UNLV and Northern Iowa have a shot to beat Kansas. You go down the next round. Who's going to come through there that has a shot to beat them? Maryland's lost 8 times. I don't see that.
I'm guessing Kansas doesn't want to see Michigan State, no matter how good they are. Michigan State has found a way to take care of Kansas all the time, it seems like.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about different Michigan State teams. You're not talking about 5 seeds for the most part. You know, the Big Ten, maybe Ohio State caught some people's eyes this weekend with the run they made, and especially the second half yesterday versus Minnesota. I'm looking for a team, and you know, you get, everybody wants to pick the chalk. Well, then people complain about that. So then Jay Billis throws Cornell all the way to the, what, field 8 or 16 last night. Well, then they're bashing him for picking the big red. So you're going to stay chalky or you're going to go out on a limb. Well, you go out on a limb and you get beat the first round. Well, then you're just totally crazy, and everybody believes your bracket just blew up. I don't know. Everybody thinks that Villanova-Duke's going to be the matchup, and everybody consensusly picks that Villanova will crush Duke and ruin their chances. They can shoot the three. They can guard the three. Villanova's the winner. They just beat Duke. Well, wait a minute. If everybody feels that way, yeah, Duke won the ACC championship. Why would they be, if everybody thinks they're going to beat them, why would they be a higher seed? You know, Duke's the wild card in this, I think. And then Syracuse, how bad's Big Boy hurt? It's a strained hamstring. He's day-to-day. I don't think they're going to need him this opening weekend. But if he's ready to go and the officials aren't going to call fouls, then give the trophy to Syracuse.
I think Kansas State has a good draw, but I also look at the seven Big 12 teams that get in, and I could realistically see them going 3-4 in the first round with Kansas State, and Baylor being your only winners. I think Oklahoma State has their hands full with Georgia Tech. Although, again, this is just on the surface. Then you start listening to Doug Gottlieb and all of the various people. He says Georgia Tech turns the ball over too much. Texas, I mean, that's an 8-9 matchup. Missouri's going to lose to Clemson. They're not playing that well.
Why,
you would think Texas A&M draws a Utah State team that, had they not got tripped up in their conference tournament, would have been a much higher seed than this. They've won 27 games.
I did like last night when Dickie V talking about Clemson and Missouri took the Tigers. Vance, Missouri on out. Don't think he realized that Clemson was also the Tigers.
That joke never gets old.
Yes. Well, he didn't realize he did it. He just moved Missouri on out, and I'm thinking, they just lost to Nebraska, Dick. Did you not? They lost to Nebraska. How can you move Missouri out?
Well, it's one of those deals.
Not even close. They got crushed by Nebraska.
Well, Missouri could be one of those stupid teams that upsets West Virginia. I mean, that's where I always look. Where is that crazy team? It always seems to be the one I don't like. You know, like a Wisconsin, like a Missouri, somebody that wins their first two games or maybe three games that you didn't think maybe would even make it out of the first round. I mean, I think Maryland's a sleeper somewhere in here. Teams that you don't know a lot about. I want to root for Tennessee. People are already saying they're going to get upset by San Diego State. Gonzaga, what a shaft. Again, a shaft. Look at their body of work. They're a West team. They're in the West bracket, but yet you send them to Buffalo, New York. They traveled all over the country in the non-conference. They play these schools where they want to play them at. They beat a couple, they lose to a couple. And just because they get beat in their conference tournament final, you shaft them with a number 8. I mean, everybody was talking about Jay Billis says Cornell should have been a 5, not a 12. Well, Gonzaga, you got to put them at least on the 5 line. I mean, these teams, you can say what you want about the Associated Press poll and the coaches poll and all the people this morning, Bob Knight, saying these guys on the committee don't know these teams. They just know what they're told. Well, the guys that are voting in the AP poll, they watch a lot of basketball. Say what you want, but your Gonzagas and your Northern Iowas of the world, if they're in the top 20, shouldn't be a 9, an 8, a 9, a 10 seed. They deserve more respect than that. They've beaten somebody to be higher on the line, and especially for Gonzaga, who proves it year in and year out and gets shafted year in and year out.
I'm going to a team that maybe people didn't see that high, the Baylor Bears, a 3 seed. Now, maybe follow the Big 12, you realize how athletic and I'll say freakishly long they are, because I know that's a word you hate, and I don't mean to throw it out because of that, Douglas. But you talk about wingspan and you talk about athleticism. Baylor comes in. The best wins this year, they've got them down as Xavier, Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Missouri, A&M, and a sweep of Texas. And to beat down Texas like they did in the Big 12 tournament, I think this is a team, okay, you know, you go on and you lose. You don't come home with a trophy. But this is a team that I think can make some noise. I think they've flown under the radar all year long, obviously caught somebody's eyes to be a 3 seed. This is a good basketball team.
Don't forget, let's tell you right now, for the first time, if you haven't heard already, we're doing it the same as we always do. Folks, it's easy, but there are a couple things that you need to do. We've given away great prizes from dozens of golf balls to golf gear to smoked food to sun heat heaters to recliners to oil changes to a variety.
TVs.
I don't know what to do with you sometimes. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of great prizes. First thing you want to do, And the only reason you have to do this is because we want you to be part of our Superfan Club, and we have to know how to get you the prize. So go to ESPNSuperStation.com, sign up to be a Superfan. All you have to do, it takes 2 minutes. Sign up to be a super fan. You need to do that because you put down the quirky names like we always do, but we need for all of our contests and for ESPN's Bracket Challenge, we need to know who you are, how to contact you, and how to get you your prize. Is that such a hard deal, Daddy?
No, pretty simple deal. Actually, even I figured it out.
Then after you do that, you go to the ESPN webpage. You fill out your bracket just like anybody else, but you join the group name Doug and Daddy. Now, the group name is Doug and Daddy. The password is also Doug and Daddy, so Daddy can figure it out. Now, there's no space in the Doug and Daddy password. It's
all together, and everything's Daddy. Lowercase. All I don't together. Know if it's case-sensitive, yeah. Just Doug and Daddy.
That's right. We put Daddy in charge, and he's come through with Doug and Daddy. That's all you got to do. Join the group, and you're going to be in for some fantastic prizes. Sign up to be a super fan. Join the group. There you go. How hard is it? You're going to fill it out anyway. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. We put it out on our Facebook page to let you know how to do it. If you've joined that, you've already received that information. If not, we've just given it to you, and we're going to continue to give it to you. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk some high school basketball, and we may even have a special guest on the show today, but Stu Pospisil, Kevin Asher of St. Cecilia, Paul Baronic of Ravenna, all coming up after this.
Sir, what are you doing with that crayon?
Making our brochure. We're way behind schedule.
I've got a better idea. Let's call Copycat Printing.
Copycat Printing?
They're more than just copies. They're a full-service commercial printer and design staff. From wedding invitations to business printing, Copycat Printing can help you come up with ideas to make you stand out in the crowd.
So you don't like my stick figures?
Not so much. Copycat Printing at 21st and Avenue A across from Chicken Coop and Kearney. Online at KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing. A better idea.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm has their next-to-last home stand of the season this weekend when they take on Team USA Friday and the Fargo Force Saturday. Face off at 7:05. You can hear the games on Classic Hits 98.9. The Nebraska women's basketball team opens the NCAA tournament on the road this weekend, and the Nebraska wrestling team will be competing in the NCAA championships in Omaha beginning Thursday. On the diamond, UNK will be taking on Northwest Missouri State Tuesday and Colorado Christian Friday and Saturday. The Hastings College baseball team will be in Oklahoma this week for their spring break trip, and the Nebraska baseball team will open Big 12 play at Texas Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For UNK softball, they are at New Mexico Highlands this weekend. The Hastings College softball team is on their spring break trip in California, and the Nebraska softball team will host South Dakota Wednesday in a doubleheader. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
Going away, Ravenna steals, up to Anderson, he'll put it up.
12 state champions crowned right here.
The Ravenna Blue Jays have repeated as the 2010 State High School C2 Boys Champions with a 57-51 win over the Archbishop Bergen Knights.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550.
Up the floor, Connor Baronic, he'll pull up for the transition three and hit it.
Cloudy conditions continue across the area today. We could see a few breaks of sun later this afternoon. Otherwise, look for an isolated chance of a shower as well, with highs in the upper 40s. Northwest winds stay at 10 to 20. Back to 28 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 39.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on the program today as we are getting ready to talk to all the fine folks that we're getting ready to talk to. The Chicken Coop is the place for lunch on this Monday to get together with your family, to get together with your friends, to get together with your coworkers, because you can catch all your favorite sports on TV, and I know you don't want to miss a minute of analysis from the folks on television, on ESPN, and ESPN.2, and 360 and you and all that. They've got it all there for you. A little golf on, a little women's selection show tonight. Of course, the Huskers will be in that. Catch all the Husker games at the Coop, the NCAA tournaments at the Coop, everything you want to watch, like the NIT, the CBI, the CIT, the USA, the FCBL.
We go live to the Coop right now, or anything else, just birdied again.
Big Burger Night, Chicken Coop and Grand Island Kearney every Wednesday night as well. Don't forget, for just $5, burger and fries, and you get to pick any burger off the menu, like their mushroom burger, bacon burger, Totally Jack Burger. It's all there for you. And check out the Chicken Coop, newly remodeled downstairs. The party room is better than before for all your gatherings. The newly remodeled basement seats over 100 for your anniversaries, birthdays, family reunions, graduation receptions, whatever you have, they can do it for you at the Chicken Coop. Plus, a little food and drinky. And it could be free, Daddy. Why?
Because you picked the right numbers at Keno. It's right there for you.
Duh. That's all you got to do. And we take you to Omaha now with the prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, who has finished up the boys' basketball season like the rest of us. Stu Pospisil joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Stu.
Morning, guys.
Have you recovered?
Barely. I don't know if my twins have or not, but they now know who their daddy is again. So 3 days in Lincoln is quite a chore, but kind of an interesting journey, didn't you guys think so?
I thought it was. I thought we had our share of at least some teams that scored, even though the D2 final was the lowest ever. But we had some teams that could score. We saw some good individual performances. We didn't see the same. We did see some of the same teams, and we didn't see some of the same teams. I guess Ewing gets over the hump. Ravenna and St. Cecilia repeat. Central has won it four times here in the last 5 years. What did you think was the number one story?
Well, I think probably South Sioux, with its youth, kind of came through in my prediction, and you know, won a very balanced River City Final Four in essence, beating Scott 60-56 in overtime in the final. And I think Mike Gazelle has shown that to a lot of people that maybe that hype about him getting five offers before his freshman year, if he continues to improve, that's probably not so much hype as realistic. He, I think, dazzled some people down there. What did you guys think, Doug? I know that you sat through the Class A final. How about the freshman from Central? What was your impression of him?
Well, I thought he was pretty special because not just because he was 6'7". Usually, and maybe I think an easy comparison here is to throw him at either a Zach Starrup or an Elliot Elison, who played as freshmen, who really just kind of stood in the middle and not necessarily took up space, but could do it defensively, not really offensively. But there was a couple of times that a gal drove the baseline. There was one time he took it in the corner when they were trying to waste time, drove the baseline and went right down to baseline and threw it down. He did not seem to be scared or intimidated and seemed to have a little bit of game. And if he stays at Central and continues to improve, I think this is the next star in Nebraska.
Oh, I agree definitely. And, you know, I you guys ever remembered a freshman who performed like that in a state final?
No, not like that. Not with that much athleticism.
Tony, you didn't make it as a freshman, right?
They didn't even know who I was. I was so far down the bench, they had no idea who I was.
You know, actually, somebody who did play very well last year, you know, on the state tourney was Lil Baronic.
Yeah, Connor Baronic played well last year. Hit a couple of key shots in that tournament, and it's always fun to see the future. And you know, the one thing I think they've always panned out to, your Jesse Carrs, your Wes Eichmeyers, you can go all the way back to the Chubbuck and Peacock and before that days, but it seems like most of these kids, you don't forget. I mean, if they're there as a freshman, they usually pan out because there are reasons that they were good as a freshman. They've matured a little bit. They've evidently put in the work, and it's not just all raw, natural talent that they let go to waste.
Right. And, you know, I think another one, you know, this will probably be one of a kind. Somebody who comes in, plays three games for a school in his entire career, makes the all-tourney team, would be Daniel Jenkins of Beatrice.
Strange story. Yeah, strange story there. The kid just transferred in, and he was a senior, is that right?
He's a senior, yes. So he had played a couple years down in Kentucky, and then came back to his hometown of Independence, Kansas, and then for whatever reason, late in their season, with their season still underway, which made him eligible for Nebraska play, he moved with his mother. Well, his mother's been in Beatrice. She's had a job in Beatrice since August, I guess. And so he just returned to live with his mother and happened to be in Beatrice. And, you know, it's not like Jim Weeks was calling, you know, people on speed dial looking for a pickup for the state tourney. It was kind of, you know, I called it manna from heaven.
Stu, I think they're great players. You pick out the class you want. But people that came off the radar for me, the Kosmicki kid from Johnson County, goes off for 36 against Axtell. And talk to Brent Heinrichs. Brent said, we double-teamed him. We had hands in his face. He just went nuts. I think he kind of came onto a lot of people's radars. And then I think when you bring a kid from way out west in Lars Backward, people knew about him, but he reintroduced him to the eastern half of the state again with a couple great performances.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Backward certainly finished up well. I know that Hayes Springs was hoping it'd be better than fourth and losing in a rematch with Hayes Center. You know, a broadcaster's nightmare, Hayes Springs and Hayes Center. Kosmicki, you know, he was kind of on the radar. I know somebody who was happy he didn't score 52 in the final. in the third place game. But, you know, he'd been on our radar back east here. Okay. You know, I think the MO on him is, you know, he's kind of a C2's Jeremy Kildare. Remember that name?
That's Bruce Schuyler.
Yep. Stu Pospisil.
You know, somebody who never, you know, turned down a shot.
Stu Pospisil joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald. The all-class top ten is always fun to look at, and you have four, if I count this right, four non-class A teams in the top ten this year in Hastings, St. Cecilia. Eighth, Omaha Scut and South Sioux City are in there out of Class B. What about the teams that are outside of A that you put in?
Well, South Sioux, you know, certainly with a couple Division I prospects, maybe three, depending on, because I think Growth maybe is a better prospect down the line than Bonilla, who's, you know, being talked at 6'11". Jose's going to have to make some good strides next year to, you know, to make a good D1 program. Not saying he can't, and he had some flashes this year. But, you know, you look at that. You look at Lincoln High, haven't gone in the tank late in the year, losing to Northeast, and then getting throttled by Central by 27. They had to move down. St. Cecilia, only one loss this year in overtime, while, you know, some of those football players are still getting their legs. No shame there. I don't think that St. Cecilia was as strong as it was last year. I think that was a really special team because it ended up third in the all-class rankings, but you know, to be included 2 years in a row, that says something, you know, for, you know, beginning with the ability of Dalton Seeley and then the guys that were role players last year that stepped up and had to be on the floor, you know, crunch time this year, the Goddards and the like. And, you know, that was with Stirrup also not being exceptionally healthy, having been to the ER the night before, and then Scott had been in and out of the top 10. And, you know, the way they finished up playing South Sioux overtime, you know, I think they're certainly better than the likes of Millard South and Grand Island, you know, teams that made the Class A field.
Stu, Omaha Central takes home the big trophy. Were they deserving in your eyes of that, or should they have been bounced on Friday?
I think they, for as bad a break as what they think they caught last year, losing in the district final to Bellevue West on what they say is a disputed phantom foul, you know, that'll be argued as much in circles as did Jeff Tarpinian get the first down for Miller North against Southeast that year. Probably the two biggest calls, non-calls, whatever you want to say at the time. You can add a third one in now with the no call on the charge, and, you know, the officials are out from your way, and in my mind they missed it. There was horrible contact, definitely a foul. It was called 20 years ago in the Grant versus Lincoln Christian C2 final. The poor kid then missed the 2-3 throws. But, you know, Southeast set the play up to draw it. They got it with a gal running into the kid who was very stationary, and they chose to ignore it. And, you know, on that call, Central now has 4 out of 5.
Stu Pospisil with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I thought the teams from our area represented very well as two state champs, a runner-up, and two third places as well with Minden and Axtell coming through. A lot of teams in the area dot this rankings. You see some teams like a Ewing that may not even exist next year because of the numbers when you get to these lower classes. Stu, who are some other schools that are doing well that are either co-oping or may not even be on the radar next year?
So Chambers definitely is going in with Wheeler Central. They don't have a name yet. UA is going to still stand alone in all sports but football, where they're going to go in with O'Neill and just send their football players up there. It's kind of a sad situation, and I think once people see their state aid numbers, the situation of looking at co-ops and mergers and unifications and what all is going to start speeding up, because I saw the early numbers, and it's not good. And, you know, as we pointed out today, that when the stimulus in the World Herald, that when the stimulus money runs out after this year, there's going to be some major decisions because of major cuts in finance and school aid.
Fair enough. Stu Pospisil joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stu, looks to me to be in C1, might be a changing of the guard next year. Is that the class that stands out to you, where some of these teams may not be back or making runs of state titles, like Hastings and Shadron the same?
Well, I think Shadron certainly is going to drop off unless they've got, you know, some more guys and beards out there that we don't know about. That was so, fear the beard, that's one of the best state attorney slogans I've ever seen, and cute and clean and what have you. I know the certain Carney Hub writer was trying to bribe somebody to get a t-shirt out of that group. But, you know, I think C2 or C1, you're going to still see good teams, you know, from some of these top people. I was impressed with Minden. I mean, I wasn't quite sure what to make of them coming in, and they knocked off Falls City and then take third place by beating a very athletic Norfolk Catholic team. And the Whippets did themselves well. I really haven't looked at far enough guys to see who all has juniors coming back. Tino Martinez over at Grand Island probably has done that homework, and we'll see a bunch of them in the Heartland Classic next February.
Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Check out the articles today or the wrap-up from the tournament. There's a couple of great points out there about starting times or what they could do for the tournament. Maybe they should expand it to 4 days. That'll make it more fun. But to read his article, and I'm right on with him, and they printed up 100-year anniversary T-shirts when maybe next year is the actual 100th celebration. But let's bring back some of the all-time greats. Let's get them on the video board. Let's replay the Miracle on Vine. Let's replay the Wahoo Lincoln Pius final. Let's get that on the big screen one more time at the state tournament and honor some of these people. It's apparent that they don't care how long the half times are at these state tournament games. If you're gonna keep doing this, why not extend it out? Do something because that's what this sport is supposed to be about. And you can read Stu's article also online at omaha.com. So Stu, get back to taking care of the youngsters.
Hey, I appreciate the time, guys, and we'll talk spring sports sometime soon once maybe the snow forecast finally goes away. So.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
You too.
Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald. Yeah, he's go to omaha.com. It's on their high school sports page. It's under the wrap-up. Check it out. It's pretty amazing. And by the way, the Kentucky celebration yesterday, why isn't that a technical foul? You're going into overtime. Why isn't that a technical foul? We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, including Kevin Asher and Paul Baronic, right after this.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again. And that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
It's March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney. All month long, stop by and fill out your brackets for free and then earn points. trade those points in for multiple prizes. Also during March Madness, participate in the Madness Pick'em Championship game and have a chance to win the grand prize. Don't forget they have the coldest beers in town and plenty of TVs to watch every single game. Stop in for St. Patrick's Day and then the NCAA tournament. March Madness all month long at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, Kearney.
The Second Amendment, one of the most threatened rights in our Constitution. At Old Market Firearms, we recognize the importance of the Second Amendment as essential to the Nebraska way of life. No matter what the season, Old Market Firearms is your source for all your sports shooting needs. In this uncertain political climate, their expert repair, service, and supply of handguns, shotguns, and rifles are a welcome reassurance. Old Market Firearms, 713 West 1st Street in Hastings. Old Market Firearms, right on target.
From my cold, dead hands.
Ordino shut up, no good rebound, and I get it. With 5 seconds to go, to Ryan. The Blue Hawks are going to win their third in a row. St. Cecilia has won their third consecutive boys' state basketball championship.
World champions, national champions, state champions, all here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
46-40, the Blue Hawks win their 25th game of the year.
Cloudy conditions continue across the area today. We could see a few breaks of sun later this afternoon. Otherwise, look for an isolated chance of a shower as well, with highs in the upper 40s. Northwest winds stay at 10 to 20. Back to 28 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 39.
Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to go to ESPN.com, fill out your bracket, join the Doug and Daddy pool, the Doug and Daddy group, as it's officially known, and the password is Doug and Daddy, all one word when you get to the password. Put it all together, Doug and Daddy. Get that done because it's going to be a busy week because there's so much going on this week, starting with St. Patrick's Day. Daddy, how about some food from Troutman's?
Well, why not try some of the best corned beef in all the land? It comes straight from Troutman's. The beef brisket is point-off trim, certified Angus beef, made with Troutman's very own special seasonings. All beef at Troutman's, USDA certified Angus beef. Steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Specials include flat iron steaks, $8.49 a pound, 90% lean ground chuck, $3.59 a pound, plus fresh out of the smoker sausage snacks for the tournament games. Stop in, pick them up today. Troutman's Quality Meats, they're waiting for you at Crossland Bob Superstore. T-Bone's waiting for you out front. Want some meats and cheese trays? They've got it for you. You want some fish for Lenten season? They've got it for you. Seafood selection. Troutman's Quality Meats, and hey, the Green Mountain Grill's waiting for you as well. Ask Carrie about it today.
1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's all you have to do to join us on the program today. Glad to hear from you at any time, and make sure you get settled up. By the way, our Sun Heat hot topic, do you play fantasy baseball as we get ready for Joe DeMeo? Daddy, are you going to get in a league? I know you're getting the email that I'm getting.
Yes, I know I'm getting that. I'm going to say no.
I would love to get in, but I don't want to do it every day. I don't want to pay attention to it every day. When it gets to August, when it gets to June, and it's nice out, I go, oh, God, I got to put my fantasy baseball lineup in. There's got to be, we used to be in leagues where 1 week at a time was all you had to do it. It's just not that way anymore. When Joe DeMeo joins us on Thursday, we'll talk to him about that and those leagues. So let's talk a little high school basketball. Apparently, they're still partying in Ravenna, where the C2 state champion Blue Jays know how to get it done. They have had quite the last number of years, boys and girls, and they repeat as the C2 state champions. Head coach Paul Baronic joins us on the show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we just wondered if the parade's over.
Yeah, we walked down Main Street yesterday. We got home about 4 o'clock, and quite a nice gathering there for us. They've done that the last few years for us, and we appreciate our fans doing that, and it's just fun for the boys.
Coach, I want to apologize, first of all, for picking against you. I you know what? I don't know what I was doing. You've been there before.
They thank you because your track record is not very good. So
I want to know, Paul, if you sit back when you start ball games and think, and you look at the opposing teams and think, if I had that talent, I would have won X amount of state championships. How many teams out there had more talent than you this year in your mind?
When I scout them, I think all of them do. You know, I get kind of leery. when I look at our guys, and I can compare them body-wise, or, you know, I mean, if we'd ever play St. Cecilia, my gosh, you know, we wouldn't win that street fight, bar fight, any fight, you know. You know, I guess when I look at our guys, I don't look at them maybe as in the athletic sense as, you know, their stature is some sort of intimidating at all. And, you know, other than, you know, Brett Douglas, now he could probably hold his own in a bar fight.
Paul Moronic is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, you guys came out just on fire against Sutton on Thursday, and then the next two games were close all the way through. Were there ever a moment in either one of those games where you got a little concerned?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was always concerned in the Johnson County game. We just could never stop Osmicki, who was just tremendous. And their inside game with Keel, he just did a tremendous job on all of our guys that we were trying to guard them with. So it didn't matter. They were just scoring at will. But we just kind of stayed their course a little bit and held on. And then our guys have been trying to hone in on finding a way to win, and that's what they've been kind of repeating over the years. We're good at finding ways to win.
Paul, it seemed to be in that final game that you guys were obviously able to do something different against that zone that Bergen runs. What were you able to do that Axtell couldn't that first half?
Maybe our shooters make them extend it more or whatever. And, you know, we worked hard on trying to throw over the top of it for a couple lobs, and John was fortunate to catch a couple and throw them in, and one he got kind of flipped up on even and made it. But, we have a couple sets that usually have a tendency to work against some zones, not every zone, but then we penetrated a little bit more and looking for, you know, like a post dish, you know, and I'm sure those maybe, it just seemed like against against Axtell, just seemed like their 1-3-1 was just impenetrable. It just didn't think like there was anything open. So when I was watching them play Axtell, I thought, man, I don't know what we're going to do. So it just looked tough.
It certainly looked like the flow of the game, you guys had it to your advantage almost throughout. The way
I thought we started off really well. Just, you know, energy and excitement, and our guys have been good about just sprinting on and off the court. We feel like we got a mental edge that way, and where everybody else might kind of lollygag out. It's just something we've talked about quite a bit and honed in on. You know, like our first week of practice back after Axtell beat us, we practiced how to sub in the next day. So we practiced, you know, that's kind of unorthodox a little bit, I guess. But we practiced, you know, when the horn went off, three guys running in and three guys running off, you know, and then the rest of the drills that day, I called them in the middle, and they were supposed to sprint to the next drill. So we just kind of ingrained a little bit of hustle and fire. Whether it worked or not, I don't know. Maybe it helped.
Well, just watching Sean Payne and Lucas Wilkie run onto the floor like that, I'd be getting the hell out of the way. I'll guarantee you that. Hey, Paul Moronic joins us here for another minute, the head coach at Ravenna. Paul, I heard somebody broach this question just as we were packing up after that championship game around midnight on Saturday. The strange thing is a lot of people believe the two teams that were your best teams here in the past decade were not able to win state championships, and maybe the three that you now have were teams that overcame a variety of things. Last year, youth. This year, injury. I know there's a lot of freaky things and luck and fate and hard work, but your thoughts on maybe how that's all played out?
Oh, you know, I definitely agree that talent-wise, basketball-wise, maybe the teams in, you know, 04, 05, 06, those guys are pretty basketball savvy. They have a lot of the same physical attributes that maybe some of these guys are playing right now. You know, they weren't very intimidating either. But, you know, the team in, like, 2008 that was third place, my goodness, we had speed, we had height, we had strength, we... I mean, that team was the fastest flying team I've ever had, and they really played hard. And we just ran into a tough GICC team that slowed us down and made us play methodical, and we, you know, some things just didn't work out late in the game that way. But that team at least put themselves at a championship level. You know, fate, luck, all that kind of stuff. You know, you can't handle everything, but, you know, I think I heard Tom Osborne talk about it one time. If you just play at a championship level, hopefully things will work out for you. You can't win them all. So if just put your guys in that position to do that, and that's, I think that's what we've done lately.
Well, I was talking to somebody last night, Paul, and I said, well, two words came up immediately to me. One was pride, that those kids don't want to let the other ones ahead of them down and be the ones that, well, we're 500, and that's just the way it's going to be. And then accountability to one another, and that's something that you see in getting kids to run on and off the court and the emotion they showed. And I think that's two special things to have in a town the size of Ravenna to carry on a tradition that you've built long ago.
Yeah, you know, I think that is it, something. You know, what's really cool is I wish, you know, maybe somebody did, but in the front row was quite a majority of our alumni basketball players.
Kids, some real ugly kids.
Yeah, some real homely ones. I mean, Tybo and Kowicki and Mingus and Cheezik and Habe. And, you know, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of good. I mean, it was really cool. And, you know, and that's what it is. You know, it's pride. It's guys carrying on the torch a little bit and looking out for one another. And the fun part about it is they kind of cheese each other now a little bit with, you know, saying, hey, we got two, we got three, we got one, and they go back and forth that way a little bit. And now all of them are talking about, all right, an alumni tournament, you know, we're going to bring out this team on that team, and then we're going to kick all of them, you know. And so it's kind of a nice little jockeying back and forth, and they give each other a little hard time, and it's kind of fun that way.
Well, once again, Paul, congratulations to you and your staff, to Tony, to Randy, the entire crew over there, and the kids. Another outstanding season, and hey, we'll do it again next year. We're looking forward to it.
Well, that's our plans always, you know, whether it works out or not. The guy in charge over here, is, you know, he gets dumber by the second, so anything can happen. You know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, the real stupid human being steps out of the closet a little bit or whatever, so.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about losing any more hair, right, Paul?
I always threaten to tell the kids, you know, as far as shaving my head, is if we win the state tournament, maybe growing it out, you know, the thing to do or something.
Well, the 2011 state champ, I'll proclaim it right now.
Easy. Way to go, Daddy. Way to put the hex on. Hey, Paul, again, always thanks for the time, and again, congratulations.
You guys are welcome. Have a good time today.
Take care. Paul Baranek, head basketball coach of the state champion Ravenna Blue Jays. And let's keep it rolling with the state champion head coach at Hastings St. Cecilia. Two in a row for him, three in a row for the school. Kevin Asher, coach, hey, you got the same. You know, maybe you guys ought to just schedule Shadron to start next year off.
Oh, I don't know about that. I hope we're done with them for a while.
Kind of following up on that statement there, is it still strange what you walked into yet had to coach and mold? Because we talked about it last week, two totally different teams, what you had last season, what you had this season, and even what you inherited after that first state championship was kind of won by coaching committee.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty surreal that you just look at all the different things that have went on in 3 years and my 2 years here. You know, a lot of the 2 years back-to-back, 2 years ago were kind of the same kids. This was, you know, four new ones and some new bench and putting the chemistry all together. And, you know, I guess it just goes to show that these kids have great character and they kind of pass the torch now, so to say, to the next group. It'll be similar to next year. We're going to have to pass the torch and replace, you know, about six, seven guys. So that's going to be something that we're looking forward to. But definitely just, yeah, it is. It's been unreal.
Kevin, you got big boy in the middle that all of a sudden comes down with meningitis, which I guess is some form of leprosy. And I run into...
And again, now Zach was placed in the hospital in Hastings after the state tournament as well.
Okay.
Yes, and we want to rule out and let everybody know that I got the call this morning. There's no meningitis from the start, you know, how those things get started, and we actually were told there it could be a viral meningitis. That was what the doctors told us Friday night, but for all of our listeners, we're thankful that no bacterial, no viral meningitis. His spinal fluid was excellent on the test this morning. So they ruled that completely out, but you're right, yeah, he's going to be in the hospital for at least 24 more hours until they figure something out. It's just right now it's touch and go.
Kevin, well, whatever it was, in seeing him before that game, yes, or Saturday morning, I thought they said 50-50 he would play. I thought in looking at the kid 20-80. When he got out there and did what he did, were you amazed, first of all, and what, I guess that's being accountable to your teammates, but boy, what a game he had being that sick.
You're you can't say enough about the way he went about his business. He was so stiff that we had to have a couple trainers work on him for about 45 an hour just to get him loosened up to play. You know, he said, you know, it wasn't like he was demanding I am playing or not. He wanted to see, and he knew he would hurt his teammates if he didn't play, and he knew he didn't want to play hurt at half speed because he was going against the best post player, I think, in the state. And, you know, Zach just wanted to do what he could. We were thinking maybe 2 to 3 minutes at a time just to give our other guys a break. And when he got in there and got warmed up, he did a great job to start with, and when we took him out, he says, I can't sit long. He goes, I just feel the aches coming on, so that's why he didn't come out the entire second half.
Did you have a game plan if he couldn't go, Kevin?
Yeah, about 11:30 then Friday night, we looked at each other after we went through films and knew that he had been in the hospital for an hour and a half already. We looked at each other, and I said, we got to go to Plan B because his mother just called, and his fever hasn't broke. And I thought there was absolutely no way with a kid, just mentally, physically, whatever it may be, I didn't think there was a super medicine to pull him out of what he was in, and really there wasn't. It was just his will. And, yeah, we were talking about matchups because we at first were maybe thinking Paul Gettert on Bargain just because of size and if he took Bo down low and got Bo in foul trouble, but we definitely, you know, who was going to be our next guy off the bench, who was going to start. Jordan Consbrooks was going to have to come in and play a much bigger role, but, you know, Zach just stepped up and Michael Jordaned it, so to say, all the way through that game.
Can you even explain Dalton Seeley's role? I mean, you guys took Zach Bargain out of the game, it seemed like. Dalton just had an incredible game, getting 24, you're 46, and kind of keying what you guys did there in the fourth quarter comeback.
You know, Dalton is that calm amongst the storm. I've never coached an athlete with more composure, more game sense. I wouldn't even call him clutch because he just that's him. I mean, he knows the situation. He's never on a real high, and he's never, ever, ever low. You know, he may be low if he, you know, doesn't feel he plays well, but he never expresses that to his teammates. He comes to practice every day with that same smile on his face, and he knows, hey, I didn't shoot well, so I'm staying extra this week. You know, he just doesn't really put added pressure onto himself. And I think there's only a few of those types of kids each year in the state. There's only a few pros that are that good. There's only a few college players that are that good. And he just happens to be one of the high school players that, you know, is that good mentally. A lot of kids are good physically, but he's that good mentally. And, you know, he was the calming force against Norfolk Catholic the day before when we were down 11-3. He hits a couple big shots just to let everybody know that, hey, we're going to hang around right here in this first quarter and turn it into a ball game. And then same thing, he starts the state tournament off with an opening three, and from that point on, you know, he hit big shots and did big things all the way through the rest of the game.
Kevin, it seems like this is kind of the same way that the year before played out in that final game. It was just, hey, somebody's going to miss one and somebody's going to take advantage of that miss down the stretch, and then time's going to be in their favor. Kind of what happened to you again this year.
You're right. You know, they didn't shoot a very high percentage in the first quarter. They had some rattlers, and we were fortunate to, you know, get out of that quarter with a lead. And then when they went into a little bit of their delay game, up 3 to 5 points there, 5 minutes to go, a kid misses backdoor layup, a role player for them, misses the layup, and that would have gave them a little more momentum. We would have felt a little more urgency to score. And then Joe Ryan, our biggest role player, comes down and drops a three on them, and then we get back-to-back threes to take the lead, and it just lifted us to the next level of defense. And then from that point on, they didn't get a good look.
Well, just outstanding, like we told Paul, to you and your coaching staff, outstanding what you've done with these kids. It's one thing to have talent. It's one thing to make that talent winners. And three in a row and some talent coming back next year. Kevin, we'll let you get back to class, and we sure appreciate you giving us the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Congratulations again.
Well, thank you, guys. And I'd like to say one thing. Those assistant coaches, probably I haven't said enough about them all year long. We won 3 to 5 games. Definitely, because they intercepted bad things that I was trying to do on the bench and got in the middle of it. And I know Coach Bronick gives Tony a lot of credit, and Mike Alsman, Brandon Vosick, and Scotty Wissing, they carried our tails at different times during the year, because us coaches, we just kind of lose it sometimes. We don't think straight, and they are the calm amongst the storm on the bench. So you're right, it's been a heck of a run, and these kids deserve all the accolades that are going to come their way. I'm so proud of our seniors and the things they've done for St. Cecilia basketball. And, you know, like we said, we're going to have to pass the torch. We've got a lot of rebuilding to do, but we got one big foundation standing in the middle, and once he gets back up on his feet, we'll be ready to go.
Kevin, sounds great. Hey, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug.
Kevin Asher, the head coach of the Hastings St. Cecilia Bluehawks. You know, it occurs to me, I wonder if these coaches that win all the time, or, you know, not all the time, but like Paul, like Kevin, have been involved in a lot of state tournament games. There's a lot of camaraderie going on out there between the coaches that maybe get beat out in the first round or came up short of getting to state. And they talk, they learn, they go over plays, they go over life, they go over a few other things. I wonder if they miss that at all. No? Not so much? They'd rather be playing? Okay. That transition is delusional Husker fan says, for my nephew, this, of course, to the Dent Popper inbox, it was the thrill of a lifetime, actually meeting a true legend in Nebraska sports, known as the Big Daddy. Now, see, again, delusional, the true legend is Tony Davis. Big Daddy co-hosts the show with me. Not only did he meet and listen to the folklore of days gone by, but was fortunate enough to share something near and dear to both their hearts. Happy hour. It's my understanding that the embassy has made a change in their happy hour since then. It's going to be happy half hour now on, in an effort to avoid losing any more inventory to Josh and the Big Daddy.
Delusional. Oh, delusional. Man. Yes, it was nice to meet, you know, your nephew and nephews, plural, because a couple more of them played on that Hayes Springs team, my adopted team. I apologize, Giltner. Big fan, though, of the 80-plus points a game those boys were scoring, facing some of the biggest competition they could face out in the northwestern part of the state. To meet the Coon boys and to meet Lars Back was truly one of the highlights of my weekend.
I know, you were fired up. You were fired up. A couple of sports stories. The AP poll is just out. The Nebraska women drop one spot to number 4 behind Tennessee. The field will be announced at 6 o'clock. ESPN's going to have a crew there. You know, and the men, they always show all the schools. They'll be talking to Connie Yori on their post-selection show. So watch ESPN tonight. That's at 6 o'clock. So it looks like Nebraska should stay on the number 1 line. And there's no, I mean, of course they should. And they shouldn't even be the 4th national seed, but we'll see. I mean, they won the toughest conference and went unbeaten, suffering their first loss in the semifinals, which could be a good thing. To Coach Paul Bronick and Kevin Asher and all our guests, they are being fed by our friends at Burger King, home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Quarter-pound double cheeseburgers, only a dollar. Their drive-through special, a 32-ounce drink for only a dollar. Two locations in Kearney, 56th and 2nd Avenue, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, also in Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte. We'll wrap things up after this.
With a certified pre-owned Porsche, the sound of over 60 years of race-bred engineering is closer than ever and enhanced by both a comprehensive inspection and an unprecedented warranty. The Porsche CPO Limited Warranty delivers coverage similar to a new Porsche and has been named Best Luxury CPO Warranty from IntelliChoice for the 2nd straight year. Visit your authorized Porsche dealer to learn more. Porsche, there is no substitute. IntelliChoice.com is a registered trademark of Automotive.com LLC. October 2009 review of 32 manufacturer programs.
It's that time of year again, when the guys who do the real work in this country get back to it. Yep, you can smell it in the air. The deep, rich, premium leather aroma of genuine Red Wing shoes. So come in for a tune-up pick up some new insoles or accessories, or step up to a new hard-working pair. Red Wing Shoes, built to fit, built to last, since 1905.
Red Wing has shovel-ready boots for your job. Find a store near you at redwingshoes.com.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
In its heyday, Detroit was the center of the universe for cars and music. Now, Ford Field in Detroit is the home of another Ford.
There's a quick shot. Score! Just like that, the terrific slap shot right down the slot.
The NCAA Frozen Four Championships, April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Cloudy conditions continue across the area today. We could see a few breaks of sun later this afternoon. Otherwise, look for an isolated chance of a shower as well, with highs in the upper 40s. Northwest winds stay at 10 to 20. Back to 28 for a low tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 39.
I'm back, Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, taking you to the lunch hour. Glad to have you along with us. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Once again, the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. You've got to be a super fan. You've got to go to ESPNSuperstation.com, become a super fan. Last year, we were ready to raise somebody on our shoulders, and we had to just drop him. Then that was a big bill for him because he had to go to clinical physical therapy and let them take care of him because... busted up some things in his lower back.
Make sure you sign up. That's big.
You got to sign up to be a super fan.
Be it. Do
it's,
it.
It's simple. It takes you a minute, minute and a half tops. That's all you got to do. Be a super fan. Then go to the big board, ESPN.com. Click on Tournament Challenge. The group name, Doug and Daddy. The password, Doug and Daddy. It's all lowercase. Don't think it's case sensitive. Nonetheless, Doug and Daddy, Doug and Daddy. Simple. Then you go to your bracket, fill out your bracket, you're in the group, bada boom, bada bing, you're registered to win. But got to sign up as a super fan.
That's all it takes.
You got to be a super fan.
It's pretty simple. Want to make any predictions right now?
Not, just too early in the week. By the way, though, I'm efforting Augie Garrido later in the week. Have already done that this morning.
We're crossing our fingers. Maybe Connie Oy tomorrow. We're crossing our fingers. Maybe.
I got my toes crossed now, too.
Yeah, see, so fingers and toes. A couple of other things. UNK Wrestling, congratulations to Mark Bauer and the crew. They're ranked ninth. They finished tied for third, and they knew they'd have to come back through those wrestleback rounds, and they were able to do that. They had five of their six became All-Americans, and Marty Usman, a national champion at 174 pounds. T.J. Hepburn and Derek Ross finished third. Taylor May and Justin McCain each finished sixth in track. Dane Toby, the national runner-up in the shot put at the Indoor Track and Field Championships in Albuquerque. Jared Lushen, the winningest pitcher in UNK baseball history. The Lopers picked up a couple of wins over the weekend. So did Hastings. Hastings softball 3-1 so far this weekend in their California trip for spring break. The Hastings baseball team heads to Oklahoma for their spring break trip as well. Tri-City Storm 1-1 over the weekend. Derek, thoughts?
Got a 4-1 win on Friday night, 4-2 loss on Saturday, so they split them with Chicago. Decent team there, so I don't know. Coming down the stretch here, they're back at home, getting into the playoff mode here, so 1-1, not too bad.
Team USA comes in Friday. Fargo comes in on Saturday. The rest of the games this season can be heard on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Daddy, we didn't get a chance to touch on it. Man, you got a feel for the Hastings women. It's fun to be the upsetter, not the upset he. And nobody saw that coming at all.
Well, Doug, but when you go back and you talk about what Coach Dettman, and yes, they'll be careful with every team. They blow that first team out, but he said those two teams, either one, whatever one advances, split with Morningside. We split with Morningside. Then you come out, I think they shot 32% from the field. not going to cut it. Lindsay Ducey had her points. Really, nobody else could get in that scoring column, and they're bounced early, and it is sad because I know that everybody was focused on bringing home the big trophy, and anything short of that was going to be a disappointment, but a real disappointment to go home in the second round.
And the GPAC is guaranteed a finalist again because Northwestern of Iowa plays Briarcliff tonight in the second semifinal. Shawnee State of Ohio, who then went on to beat Grandview of Iowa by 20, will take on Indiana Wesleyan. And the team that ousted the Hastings men, Oklahoma Wesleyan, continues on there in the semifinals tonight against St. Francis. Bellevue, Nebraska, they're in the other semifinal. They take on Walsh, not a member of the GPAC, but a Nebraska team. I think they're the only NAIA Nebraska team that's not a member of the GPAC conference.
And just a quick note, that Oklahoma Wesleyan team is a defending national champion, so been there before and done that, so making another run.
Brady Quinn to Denver, thoughts?
Oh!
LaDainian Tomlinson to the Jets, either one, which one?
Ah, I don't want either one of them. What's Brady, they say Brady Quinn, what is he has proved he can do nothing. I like what Josh Daniels was able to do last year, getting Orton from Chicago. I don't, you know what, keep building on that. A lot of good things happen there. I just keep bringing in quarterbacks and continuity's all messed up. I just think the Vikings such a better fit in my mind for LaDainian Tomlinson to back up Adrian Peterson than he would be to go to the New York Jets, but that's just my opinion.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for our Doug and Daddy show here today. Don't forget, we're back in studio tomorrow with some special guests. We'll look at the women's bracket, and we'll talk about Nebraska basketball. We're going to have some special guests throughout the week to break down the women's bracket, to break down the men's bracket, to talk Nebraska baseball. We'll also be talking a lot more with spring football just around the corner. We're going to be breaking that down. The Huskers get going next week. The Lopers are getting ready to get going. Hastings just around the corner. Spring ball, it's hard to believe. And don't forget, live Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, a special 11-1 show from Cunningham's Journal of the Loft, so make plans to be there as well on Wednesday. We want to thank state championship coaches Paul Moronic of Ravenna and Kevin Asher of Hastings St. Cecilia, along with Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World-Herald, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, 23 hours from now, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!